You are listening to The Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more, every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of The Political Periscope is Shiho Ripski, Director of Training and Exercises at the European Center of Excellence for Countering Hybrid Threats.
Political Periscope.
What's the Hybrid Center of Excellence? What's the purpose of this institution?
Yes, so the European Center of Excellence for Countering Hybrid Threats was founded based on an MOU between NATO and EU that they would jointly counter hybrid threats together in a neutral platform. So the purpose of the organization is that it's neither NATO nor is it an EU Center of Excellence, but it's a combination of both. And so that allows the institutions to come together, coordinate and collaborate, train and exercise, all for the purpose of learning more about hybrid threats and what are the techniques that we have available in order to tackle them.
For the last 3 days, we've had an example of such training, of such exercise here in Warsaw during the war game.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And so this countering disinformation war game was ultimately based on a need for nations to have a platform in order to apply some of the current techniques that they have for countering disinfo on social media platforms, but also to experiment with new ideas, to learn how to coordinate with different organizations or entities, journalists, fact checkers, like we had seen in the debrief, civilian populations, and really understand a little bit more about how this social media ecosystem or media ecosystem works in a controlled environment.
I was here as a journalist, but there were also participants from government institutions.
Yes. So this particular war game was set up to train the Lubin III triangle nations. So that's Ukraine, Poland, and Lithuania, in addition to the UK that was also invited here.
There were no winners. There are no winners. It's a training. But what are the real threats that such exercise, such war game can prepare us for?
Yes. So I believe that what this war game really prepares us for is that not only did you see a lot of the teams, start off very reactionary, but it really prepares us to consider more proactive messaging, really prepares us to consider who are our target audiences, right? Because I think naturally what occurred in this war game and previous war games is that it's not about, constantly messaging, the adversary, but sometimes it's about reassuring populations. Sometimes it's engaging with civil society and journalists and, other elements of civil society, such as fact checkers and social media influencers. And so I think that aspect of this war game is very unique because it helps governments really expand their circle of engagement and look for additional opportunities to amplify their messaging.
What's the role, actual role of governments, and what could it be in preventing disinformation?
Okay, so I think the actual role of governments in many ways is really twofold. In some ways, governments enable civil society organizations and other organizations, depending on your country, to build resiliency, social media resiliency. They have an obligation to increase the population's trust in government. And that's one of the things that governments, can do. They can try to increase confidence in government and government messaging amongst civil populations. And then they can also enable others to amplify proactive messaging, right? And so I think the role of governments in many ways is to also coordinate amongst these civil society actors to really coordinate the whole society approach, bring all of those different entities together.
What is, in your opinion, the most effective way to prevent disinformation, to fight against disinformation?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what I had said before, that you know, the most effective way is for us to approach it in a whole of society manner, to realize that government messaging alone is not enough, that we also need to have positive messaging from civil populations. We need to support journalists, and especially independent journalism and fact checking. And we need to, you know, support others. We need to coordinate with our institutions and our allies. So it can't just be a singular government solution, but it's networking through alliances. It's joining with other nations, and it's you know, also supporting the voices of civil society in that proactive approach.
Besides this proactive informational approach, there are also measures such as legislation and education. Do you think that those are viable methods of fighting disinformation?
Yes, I do. I do, actually. I'm actually a huge proponent of media literacy. This is one of the offshoots of the project that I have here for the Countering Disinformation War Game. And for me, I think media literacy, although it takes time to build that sort of literacy, it really starts, you know, at a very young age with school children and civil society organizations and with universities. And it's, you know, instead of, you know, increasing censorship or increasing measures to prevent, you know, independent voices from expressing, you know, or acting on their freedom of speech. So instead of suppressing freedom of speech, I believe that it's educating populations, right? So give populations the choice and the tools in order to discern, you know, fact from false information, be able to debunk their own disinformation and make their own educated choices. And I think for me that is one of the key elements that we all should consider focusing on.
How are we doing so far as a general Western society?
I think in general, yes, it's very, very challenging. I think the adversary is very adaptive. You know, I think, especially here in Europe, I get the feeling that we know Russia very well, right? That they are very predictable in their narratives. I certainly think we still have a lot of work to do. And as social media also adapts and changes, you think with AI, with ChatGPT, it's going to become even more difficult for us. And so we need to really start getting ahead of the problem, right? And really better understand what those future threats are. And I think if we can do that, then, you know, hopefully we can start to mitigate some of those threats.
You've mentioned ChatGPT a few days ago. We all have seen the photos of Pope Francis wearing a white Balenciaga jacket. It was artificially generated. What is the way? What can we do about such images? They will get better and better, even more realistic. Is it enough to educate yourself, or should there be some legislative measures put in place?
Yes, I think that also is very difficult, because on the one hand, you know, sadly, it's those images that continue to get amplified in the social media space, right? Because they're so eye-catching. And I absolutely agree. I think that, you know, if there were a way to, discourage or de-amplify those types of images, it would certainly make our lives a lot easier. I don't know if any of I don't know if any of that is going to go away, but I think it kind of goes back to the importance of having, you know, fact-checking organizations and having the ability to debunk sort of those false images.
How has the Russian disinformation changed since the beginning of the invasion last year?
I don't know if it's I don't know if necessarily their tactics have changed. I think what we've seen more is that we've seen potentially more amplifying or coordination with you know, adversaries like China. I think also their shift to focus on the global south, it has definitely increased. And so I think here in Europe, it feels as though they've been fairly consistent. But I also think that in many ways, you know, when it's something that you're so used to, you sometimes miss the signs, the signals that a lot of this information was information conditioning and preparation of the invasion, right? So they were really using the information space before the invasion in order to amplify their narratives, to prepare that space. And then they're also, I think, from a hybrid perspective, they're not just using disinformation, they're using disinformation in addition to cyber attacks and various legislative acts and, you know, co-opting young children you know, adjusting school curriculums in some of the occupied territories. And so disinformation is just one angle or aspect that they have in a greater hybrid operation.
We are talking a lot about disinformation, how it affects us, how we can fight against it. But what could be real effects of disinformation, the effects that we can see in our real lives, not in infosphere, but on the street?
I think it also talks to maybe how we feel about ourselves and others, and how whether or not we trust our governments. I think that, or we trust the things that we, you know, see and hear and read in regular media, not just in social media, but it lends itself to, you know, not only more conspiracy theories, but more divisions amongst societies, right? Like, I think that disinformation creates these divisions within societies that breaks societal unity. And so that could be why that there is a little bit of increased, you know, social unrest in places where disinformation flourishes.
There are also so-called peace movements. We observe them. Maybe people are just tired with the war. Maybe they really would like to just give up on Ukraine.
But we can't give up on Ukraine. We certainly can't. I think that is certainly that's a challenge for all governments and all societies. It's very easy to look inward, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is a fight about democracy and freedom. And in particular, we just cannot let Russia win.
I mentioned the peace movements on purpose. In Poland, we have a very, well, I don't know if prominent, but we have a movement that calls itself a peace movement, which is now really, well, it is really possible that some of them will get into the parliament during the next election. Is it a whole European problem, or is it just a Polish specifics?
Well, I don't think I certainly can't speak to the specifics of Poland, or necessarily speak to it being a whole a European problem. But I think, again, it goes back to, you know, defending democracy and defending our values. And I know we all would like to have peace, right? And it's a question of, you know, under what conditions are required in order to obtain that peace. And certainly, I think most would agree that Russia just needs to stop.
So, to end, are you rather an optimist or a pessimist considering disinformation?
I'm optimistic that that our societies in many ways are going to become more educated. So I'm optimistic that the younger generation has a better understanding of disinformation that certainly I had when I was that age. I look at my own children and they have a better understanding and really talk about, oh, right, that picture, that meme was false. So, you know, that isn't really true. And I think for them, that's what makes me optimistic is that they have a grasp and understanding that not everything in the social media space is true. And they're also learning to discern fact from fiction and have ability to be more resilient to disinformation. So I think in that sense, yes, I am optimistic that future generations will gain that understanding. And certainly the more we talk about it, the more that understanding will increase across all generations.
Is there any message you would like to pass?
I don't think I have any particular message.
So maybe very short instruction for our listeners, how to avoid being disinformed.
I think it goes back to, again, you know, supporting independent journalism, freedom of speech, continuing to gain news through trusted sources, supporting fact checkers, and supporting media literacy programs, and always continuing to educate yourself on fact from fiction, because I mean, we need to advocate for the truth. We need to be defenders of truth and democracy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.